When people ask me, what's the best way to get into voiceovers, my first response is that there is actually more than one path, and everyone working in this industry does have a different story. Today's story comes from Erin, who's joining me on the phone. Hi, Erin.
Hi, Andy.
Now, Erin, firstly, how would you describe your own voice?
That's a really tricky question. No, I'm told I sound very young. I'm 40 this year, and I often get booked for really young-sounding voices. If you've got to promote Bieber, I'm your girl.
You do have a very young-sounding voice, which can only work in your favour, I imagine. How did you then start out doing voiceovers? Was it something that was self-motivated, or did someone say to you, hey, you should do this?
Yeah, people used to say to me all the time, you've got a really cool voice, you should go on the radio. So I didn't really act on it for a long time. I didn't know anything about radio or anyone in radio. But I was at kind of a funny stage in my life, and I saw this ad for a radio course, and I did that radio course. It was just a 10-week one at the Melbourne Radio School. And then it was probably another couple of years before I started really working in radio and doing voiceovers. There was a beginner's job in a production department that I took, and that was kind of a case of it being convenient. I met this guy and he lived a long way away, and there happened to be a radio job going in the town that he lived in. So I took a big pay cut and took this beginner's role in a production department, and there I did a lot of voiceovers. You know, every day I would do a whole heap of voiceovers for nothing, just on top of my job, and got a lot of practice, yeah.
That's one of the advantages of getting a job in a radio station, is that in many radio stations, doing voiceovers just is part of the job, and something that you then thought to yourself, hey, I'd like to actually take this outside of my job, start getting paid for the work as well.
Yeah, well, I started getting asked for so many voiceovers. It was cutting into my work time, and it was causing me a little bit of stress. So I was trying to spend all this time in the studio, but also, you know, do my job. And I moved back to Melbourne, I think, in 2008. And at that stage, I was doing some freelance at another radio station in Melbourne. And I applied for an agency that I always thought was really awesome. And I didn't think that they would take me. I just thought that they were the best agency I could have ever imagined. And they thought I was awesome, and they took me on board. So it all went from there. It was really exciting.
Who was that agency in Melbourne?
The agency was RMK. That was really exciting, because from then on, I was paid to go to all of these different studios all around Melbourne. And I got some really good money for showing up and doing it. And I worked with a lot of different producers and different writers, and that was really interesting, a really big learning experience.
And certainly very different from just picking up scripts in the radio station that you worked at and reading them there, actually getting out, working with other audio producers, writers and casting professionals, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. That was great. And I did actually do a fair bit of, I went in the production job that I did in the country, I ended up in writing. So I learnt that side of making commercials as well. And I did a little bit of on-air, and you do a bit of jack-of-all-trades when you work in the country. And then, so working with lots of different producers and learning how they produce from the other side as well was really, really helpful for me. It helped me understand what the people who were hiring me wanted.
Okay.
You know, so because I had written and I had helped produce and I'd been there on the other side, I kind of had a bit more of an insight into how to take direction, I guess.
So you're no longer in Melbourne. I believe you've moved up to Queensland. So what sort of voiceover jobs are you generally doing now, and where does the work come from now that you're not living in the Cap City?
Yeah, so I live in the middle of nowhere. I live 57 kilometres from the nearest shops, and I have children now, and I work out of my little studio in my house. And I do a lot of rural, regional radio. a fair bit of Melbourne radio as well. I've got a couple of agents that call me, or not, don't call me, they just send me work. So I'm just always checking my emails to see if I've got work. I can get an email from someone going, I've got this video that I'm making and I'd love you to be a part of it. Or maybe they want, you know, a telephone on hold, or an elevator. I got an elevator recording for a building overseas in Asia somewhere. So there's a lot of really strange things that come through. And it's just because, I guess, you get to know a lot of people over a long period of time, and hopefully you stay in their mind and they think of you when they've got jobs.
So you're living, as you say, in the middle of nowhere. So you're self-recording. You've put together, I guess, a good recording space?
Yeah, I've got a really cool little voice booth that was set up for me by an audio engineer in when I was with people. Producers that I've worked with have commented on my sound. So I'm really happy with the setup.
What are some of the other things that you've discovered about working as a voiceover artist that you perhaps didn't think of before you got started?
The thing that really struck me when I first started was that studio spaces feel different. And actually, my very first job, which I forgot to mention earlier, was a bunch of imaging for Kiss FM. It was really cool, but it was done in this studio where you're in the same space as the producer. So there's nothing between you and it feels quite normal. It feels quite natural. But most studios, you're separated from everyone else and the atmosphere feels different because you've got, you know, glass walls and you've got headphones on. So hearing yourself come back at yourself and just the whole sensory experience is really different, and that in the beginning really threw me off. And I guess, I mean, it just comes down to having a lot of practice. And once you've done it a ton of times, like I could walk into any studio and I'll feel like that's my space because I'm so used to that feeling of having the sounds come through my headphones and just the way that the room feels, you know, like because it's a soundproof room. The atmosphere feels different and eventually you get used to that and then you can, you know, forget. It's like riding a bike. When you first start to ride a bike, you have to think about, you know, moving the steering and pedaling and how you're going to stop and all of that stuff. And eventually it just becomes like riding a bike, so you can just be in the moment and concentrate on your work and what you're doing.
What advice then would you give to anyone thinking of getting into voiceovers and they're just thinking, oh, you know, someone said to them, hey, you've got a great voice, or, you know, you're so good speaking in front of other people. What advice would you impart?
Get in there and practice. Go into small stations, community stations, and do some free work. Even if it's not going to go on air in the beginning, if you are going to sell yourself as a professional, you need to be a professional first, I think. I remember working in a big radio station in Melbourne and we, you know, someone came in as someone's mate. This guy wants to be a voiceover. He's going to come in and do this voiceover. And he had a great voice. He really did. But he was still asking to be paid a professional fee for that. And I feel like if you are going to ask a professional fee, then you need to make sure that you know exactly what you're doing and you can own that space. You don't want to go in there and be like, oh, I'm so nervous. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do this. Was that okay? Is that okay? Yeah, just get a lot of practice and know what you do and what you're good at and how good you are at it and do that.
No, you're right. It does take a certain amount of confidence to be able to walk in and perform, if you like. So I think you've got a great point there for sure. Aaron, thanks again for talking to me today and all the best with your voiceover future and we'll catch up with you down the track.